This is The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Mary Beth Maziarz. Today on the show, we're talking about something that can happen in an instant, but change a life forever. Stroke. And surprisingly, it's affecting more younger adults than ever before. Joining us is Dr. Blaise Baxter, a globally recognized neurointerventional specialist who has helped shape modern stroke treatment and trained physicians around the world.
From groundbreaking research published in top journals to his work advancing life-saving procedures like mechanical thrombectomy, Dr. Baxter is on the front lines of this fight. In recognition of Survive Stroke Week, we'll explore why rapid response matters, what warning signs to watch for, and how greater awareness can save lives. Dr. Baxter, welcome back to The Mountain Life.
Yeah, thank you for having me back again. And thank you for all your great work to just raise awareness about stroke for all of our listening audience.
Yes, well, we think it's so important. And I think for me personally, I've had two friends who have been in their early 40s that have had strokes, one major, one minor. And it's really alarming, and it makes me realize there's so much information that we need to imprint on our brains about stroke that we don't have it grasped just yet. So you're going to help us do that. What are the warning signs?
Yeah, so we try to tell people to remember a little memory aid, be fast. And so that's something that we'd love to get out there and have everyone recognize and try to remember. And so, stroke has a sudden onset of symptoms. So if you have the B is for balance or coordination problems, if you have a sudden onset of loss of balance, E is for eyes. If you have sudden loss of vision in one eye or both eyes, F is for face. If your face is either numb or drooping on one side, the A is for arm. If you have weakness or numbness again in one arm, can't, lift an arm. The S is for speech. So a sudden onset of a speech disturbance, can't find your words. And then the T is for time to call 911. And that's a big message. If you have just one of these signs, we want people to treat stroke like a medical emergency and to call 911, activate, and get the professionals involved and let us figure out what these symptoms are due to.
Yes. And that time thing, even though it's the last in the acronym, be fast, time is so important. Give us the stats around how quickly our brain cells are dying when we're stroking.
Yeah, it's quite incredible. For every minute that your brain is deprived its oxygen, from a lack of blood supply, you're losing 2 million brain cells. So I don't know about you, but I can't afford to lose that many. so that's quite a trajectory. And so obviously, a stroke is a medical emergency. Thankfully, we have a time-sensitive therapy that we can get people in and perform a thrombectomy, which is just a minimally invasive procedure that gets that blocked vessel back open and restores the blood supply. And so that turns the ship around, and these 2 million brain cells that are dying every minute, you get that function back and can go on to hopefully make a full recovery and live your normal life.
I feel like stroke used to be considered something that happened mostly to elderly people, but research shows that younger populations are having increasing incidence of stroke. What kind of things are affecting this shift, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, as you know, we're sort of drifting away from a bit of a vascular and cardiovascular healthy population. And so, the same risk factors for stroke are often risk factors for the things that affect and give us heart disease. We want people to live a heart healthy life, and that also is protective for stroke. One of the main things that causes stroke is a clot. The clot often comes from a bad heart and then leaves the heart and travels north and plugs the brain vessel. And so we want people to have, a good heart healthy lifestyle, which is obviously diet and exercise and those kind of things. So if in short, if people are trying to figure out how to prevent stroke. It's often to, just look at those guidelines that we have for living a heart healthy life.
Sure. Also, in the materials that we were given to prepare for today, there was a thing about how drugs like opioids and stimulants can have an effect on one's risk of stroke. Could you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, all of these things, medications, those specifically, we know that there's, kind of a crisis in that regard in the country, and so those kind of medications, can have a negative effect sometimes on both sides. We divide stroke into ischemic, which means a blood vessel is blocked and you're deprived of the oxygen to your brain. To that area that's affected, or hemorrhagic, where something has, sprung a leak and there's a bleed in the brain. And so the opioids and stuff can also be a cause on that hemorrhagic side. So best to obviously just take things in the context of a medical prescription and not to overabuse or self-prescribe those kind of medicines.
Yeah. Dr. Baxter, I had a friend who was, shopping one day in the grocery store, Home Depot or something, and she started to feel dizziness. And, if you look at the BFAST and all those symptoms that you mentioned, it ended up that she had some of them, but it wasn't a stroke, and it could have been some sort of migraine coming on. And so, are there times that it is the symptoms may present, but it's something else? I mean, she did go to the stroke center and make sure that it wasn't a stroke, but when do we really take it absolutely seriously and know that it's not something else?
Yeah, great question. And so this has been one of the challenges. We had mentioned that obviously if you are having a stroke, it is a medical emergency. We want to get you to a time-sensitive therapy that we want to, open and restore that blood supply. But the symptoms, like you said, can be a little bit puzzling for people. If we go through that list, we've probably all had some of those symptoms and say, well, should I have called 911? The main takeaways are obviously, these are usually in the stroke context, things that are, definitely not normal. Like, so, if a loss of, balance or coordination means that, you have a sudden onset where you're kind of stumbling, it's something that doesn't, recover, so it's something that's clearly abnormal for you, or same with the, the visual things, not maybe just a little, kind of waves in your visual field, but more, a sudden loss of an area that you can't see that part of in your visual field. So, these are symptoms that usually, someone would say, hey, this is, something clearly abnormal has happened to me. And it can only be one of these, but we want, people, if you have one of them, even if you think if it's, say, numbness that is very abnormal in your arm, don't just say, okay, I think my arm might be asleep. If it's not going away, again, treat it like a medical emergency. Activate, the 911 mechanisms, and we can figure it out. To another part of an answer to your question is, on the receiving end at the hospital, we screen a large number of patients that do come in with stroke-like symptoms. So in my hospital, we would screen about 17 patients to find the one true patient that was, needing our attention. So it's okay for us to sort of overshoot, and be in abundance of caution and, investigate a number of patients to make sure we capture that one patient.
Yeah. I'm also wondering, I'm forgetting the name for it, but they aren't strokes, but they're these many little things that may present as stroke. What are those
Yeah,
called?
TIA, a transient ischemia attack or ischemic attack. That is, that is a form of stroke. It just means that you're kind of having a mini stroke. The symptoms are related to the things that would go on and potentially cause a bigger stroke, but it just means that the symptoms went away and you didn't have any actual area of damage to the brain, but it's telling you that, you know, you're having warning signs that, you know, you may go on to have a bigger stroke. And so again, those are all important things for people to investigate and determine the cause of why you had that mini stroke. Even though it didn't do any permanent damage at that time, it could lead to damage down the road.
The last time we spoke, I think it was 2 years ago, you explained how different hospital facilities have different capabilities for managing stroke treatment. And we looked into it, and our Park City Hospital is designated a stroke receiving center, but bigger hospitals like IHC Medical Center in Murray and the University of Utah Hospital in Salt Lake have the highest designation, which is Comprehensive Stroke Center. Since time is so of the essence, when a stroke is happening, what's the best way to assess which facility to go to? Or if you call an ambulance, can you ask them to bring you to one? Or are they equipped to even help you on the way?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, a system of designating patients that most people are familiar with is trauma, obviously, you know, and there's, you know, that hopefully, you know, we don't have a trauma, but if we do, we rely on the system that says, okay, you know, EMS is going to show up at the scene and take us. If we're a severe trauma, we go to a level one center. If we're kind of moderate, we go to level two, and then there's level three. And so those criteria are all worked out, you know, kind of from a medical perspective of which one you go to. And so for stroke, we're with this thrombectomy that came into our field in 2015 and was established as a worldwide standard of care for patients having these kind of big bad strokes from a you know, a major vessel that's blocked. You know, these centers throughout the country under accrediting bodies are organized now similar to that level one, level two, level three, you know, so a comprehensive center is where you can receive, you know, the full treatment. You can get the drug, clot busting drug, you can get the thrombectomy if that's what you need. And so, so you know, EMS is obviously the gatekeeper. So if a patient just activates 911, then in the states throughout the country now, almost every state has laws in place that laws used to reflect that you were taken to the closest hospital, but now it's more along the trauma model where it's aligning to take you to the hospital where, you know, based on your symptoms, you would get evaluated and hopefully receive the type of, you know, level of care that you need. So the message is for patients and families, you know, very confusing to figure out, you know, is my local center a primary or, you know, what designation does it have? So again, you know, activate 911 and let the system get you to the correct hospital where you would get, you know, the appropriate care.
That's great to hear that, because in that moment, I can't imagine calling around and trying to establish, say you're on vacation or something, and trying to figure out where the best place is to go. Yeah. Well, it seems like there are more and more ways we can gauge our risk of a lot of health conditions and diseases. Are there any tests or ways we can do that for our risk of stroke?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, prevention and risk mitigation is very important, obviously, as we all know. And, you know, so things that, you know, people can do, again, vascular disease is stuff that if it affects your, you know, brain vessels or the carotid arteries in your neck is very similar to the same like things that, you know, are the risk factors for getting, you know, stenoses and narrowings in your heart arteries or other arteries in your body. And so, you know, so think, you know, going obviously and having your, you know, kind of annual medical, certainly if you had any of those things, like we talked about, you know, warning signs, like TIAs, you know, that kind of thing where you have some of these mini strokes, you know, get investigated from both whether your heart is healthy and whether your vessels are healthy. So there is things like for your carotid arteries and your neck, you can get an ultrasound evaluation. You know, and then the main culprits that we see are actually people that have abnormal rhythm disturbances, atrial fibrillation in the heart, and that makes the heart not as effective a pump, if you like, you know, and there can be some clot that forms. And if people aren't on a protective blood thinning medicine, they can form that clot and then it can, you know, dislodge and cause a stroke. So yeah, go basically and you know, get your sort of annual screening. And if you have any of those symptoms, then there's investigations that can be done to find out what your risk of stroke is.
Yeah. Dr. Baxter, it's interesting, and I hate to bring health insurance into the conversation, but many of us do what our health insurance dictates. And so we get, you know, a lipid panel, and we get that yearly blood work done that is covered. And to, at least to my knowledge, I wanted to know a little bit more. And so my doctor said, well, the next step that you might do just beyond the basics is to get a, is it called a coronary calcium score? A scan.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, but it wasn't covered. So I was just paying. It's not expensive, thankfully, but that gave me some more information. Is there anything that, I mean, what are those types of things? And I don't even know if that's the right test that gives me any information about, you know, whether or not I'm at risk for stroke.
Yeah, unfortunately, like I said, sometimes, you know, obviously our system is geared more if you have symptoms rather than in a preventive, you know, kind of way. So certainly if you have any symptoms, I mean, it's best to let your doctor know, and then they can trip those appropriate investigations. And then the health coverage is also follows suit that those kind of tests and investigations are covered for you. A lot of strokes, you know, certainly, you know, I'm saying that they have, similar risks, from a heart point of view. But often in the brain vessels, we don't see as many narrowings from the atherosclerosis or the plaque. You know, we see more this clot that is actually forming, like I said, in the heart, and then gets dislodged and goes and breaks off and you know, blocks a brain vessel. So, you know, some of those things are, again, to just, you know, there's nice devices now that everyone's wearing that tells you if you're in a normal heart rhythm or atrial fibrillation. So, you know, the more information you can get is great to know sort of and check in on if you have any issues. And if you do, like I said, again, go get investigated.
Yeah. It seems as though we use that verb, we turn stroke into a verb, stroking, or someone's stroking out. So it makes us believe that it's something that happens sort of all at once. But I feel like a friend of mine who had a major stroke had symptoms for maybe weeks ahead of time, like losing words and things like that. Or, you know, maybe, well, that is my question. Is that possible? Could you be, you know, dizzy and or lose balance for weeks ahead of time as an indicator?
Yeah, it can be. There's a stepwise progression, you know, before the main event happens. And we do see that in a number of patients. And so, again, is to take those what may seem like, you know, sort of a smaller event and it goes away and gets better. Take that seriously and say, okay, I don't want to ignore that. You know, something did happen to me, and I should find out, you know, if that's something that I need to be concerned about. So some, you know, sometimes we do it. It's a bit, this is where it gets a little bit complicated. Some of those stepwise, progressions make us think of a certain type of stroke. So, you know, again, it's to get into the medical professionals and we can figure those things out for you, but certainly, the main message is to be aware any of these symptoms are things that you should take seriously. And even if they go away, look for why that happened to you and hopefully it will prevent anything happening in the future.
That sounds great. We've got to let you go, but really quickly, 10 seconds, since the last time we talked to you, have there been improvements?
Of course, it's so exciting. We're getting the word out there. You guys are raising awareness that gets us more patients in. And just a sobering thought to close on, not a downer, but I was looking at, you know, how common stroke is and thinking about it. And in this 25 minutes we've had or half an hour, unfortunately, probably 45 people in the U.S. have had a stroke and 7 will die from that stroke. So it's a very common thing. So we want people to know that there's great treatment. There's great things that are happening in stroke. So thank you for getting that message out there.
Baxter, thank you so much for joining us today on The Mountain Life.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Okay. We'll see you guys.
Okay.